whatever the weather,
we will not stop praising the Lord. Today, I'd like us to continue from where we left off on the last occasion. Because I think that there are some further thoughts from that passage which might be of importance to us. So could I please take you back to 1 Kings chapter 3, reading from verse 16. First Kings chapter 3 from verse 16. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had borne. Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son.' And the first woman said, 'No, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, 'The one says, this is my son who lives and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him neither be mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." And Father, in the brevity of the time, I pray that through these lips of clay, you will speak your word of life, that word which brings light and insight to your people. And that, Father, at the end of it, we will leave this place blessed, strengthened, and encouraged. In Jesus' name. Amen. This story could have been about a man and a woman. It could have been about two men. But on this occasion, the Bible decided to give us a case study of two women. And in the early verses of that passage, it says that the two of them were living in the house together. It was just the two of them in the house. That speaks of a relationship. And ever since the beginning of time, starting with the Garden of Eden, God has placed people in relationships. And it's within relationships that God's purposes can thrive. And so here we have these two women. And on my way back to London on the last occasion, there were all these thoughts which were being downloaded into my hard drive. I was asking myself, where were the men? The story talks about two women who each had a baby. Where were the men? Where were the fathers? Where was the father of that baby who was being crushed in the night? Where was the father of the other baby who was being swapped in the night? The Bible talks about one woman who crushes her baby in the night, and the other woman whose baby is taken from her in the night. And I was wondering, where were the fathers of those two babies? The father of the first baby who was being crushed, and then the father of the baby who was being taken. Clearly, they were not there to protect their offspring. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18, that God formed us in the inward parts of our mothers. It says that, for you formed me, you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And I thought to myself, this is the psalmist acknowledging the way in which he was created by God. fearfully and wonderfully made. It is not for no reason that the human gestation period is 9 months. We do not have any microwave babies around. It takes 9 months for a baby to be fully developed within the human womb. And Psalm 139 talks about the process of God knitting us together in our mother's wombs. God wiring us together in our mother's wombs. And it's against that background that I was thinking on the way back that I wonder what God thinks about abortion. But that isn't the subject of today's message. But you see, whatever God creates, He creates for a reason. Whatever God wires together, He wires together for a reason. The Bible says that the devil cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal, to kill, and to destroy that which God has carefully put together. Relationships are those places where God's purposes should be protected and preserved. Relationships are those places where God's purposes are nurtured. Relationships are those places where God's purposes can thrive. Now, as I say, I don't know why in this case study we have two women in the house together. But whatever the reason, it may be that woman number one could have looked after woman number two's baby when woman number two had to go out, or woman number two could have looked after woman number one's baby when woman number one had to go out. But what we see in this story is a careless act or omission on the part of one of the parties. Now, if at any point I start talking like a lawyer, please put your hand up and stop me. There is a careless act or omission on the part of one of the players in this story. And the Bible says that something happened in the night. And that baby which had been created in the image of God, that baby which God had knit together, that baby that God had a plan and a purpose for, was crushed. Now, as to whether the child was crushed through carelessness, as to whether the child was crushed through some deliberate act, let's give the mother the benefit of the doubt. Say it was a terrible accident. But moving on from that terrible accident, what happens next? The Bible says that she takes that dead baby and goes to her neighbor. She places the dead baby there and takes her her friend's living baby. That was a calculated, self-centered act which injected confusion and chaos into that relationship. A self-centered, calculated, careless act which injects confusion and chaos into a relationship. And one of the things I want us to focus on today is the way in which we relate to those closest to us. The self-centered, careless things that we do in our relationships, and the consequences of those self-centered, careless acts. Because you see, those self-centered, careless acts destroy relationships. Those thoughtless acts, and can I conduct a poll? Can I have a show of hands, please? Now, please close your eyes. Don't want you to see anybody else's hands. Can we have a show of hands of all those who have not done anything self-centered or careless this year? If you have not done anything self-centered or careless this year. Thank you. And what impact have those things had on those closest to you? Those nearest and dearest to you? Those whom you care for the most, those closest to you. Things got so bad between these two women that, I mean, can you imagine it? You got two women living together, they've each got a baby. And one baby is dead. And one of them has exchanged the living baby for the dead baby. And it's just, the Bible says, it was just the two of them in the house. And I'm trying to imagine this situation, being a fly on the wall and listening to the exchange. My baby, no, he's not, he's mine, he's mine. What did you do? I mean, and the situation gets so bad that they have to go to court. It wasn't a divorce petition, no. But they had ended up in court. And maybe the king, the judge, was expecting a divorce petition. But this wasn't a divorce petition. This was two people fighting over a dead baby. Well, over a living baby, over a child. And they are ripping this relationship apart by their actions. That child represented the future. It represented a dream. It represented continuity of something. It represented something that God wanted to do in and through the parent or the parents of that child. And yet a careless act, a self-centered act, had brought about this wholesale destruction and decimation of what could have been a caring, helpful relationship. And the king sits there bemused at this inability of these two people to sort out what you would have thought was a fairly simple issue. I suspect the dead baby and the living baby were the same sex. Well, I mean, if it was a boy and a girl, I mean, it would be fairly obvious, wouldn't it? But there is something about this story which tells me that relationships are important. There is something about this story which tells me that our carelessness and our self-centeredness can do irreparable damage to our relationships. And sometimes when relationships are damaged to a certain extent, it is very, very, very difficult to go back. How do you go back to that house after the king's judgment? How do you go back to the house? Where there has been such a breach of trust. And not only has there been a breach of trust, but the king, in trying to discern the spirit behind this act or this situation which he's been called upon to judge, is saying, bring a sword and let's divide the child in two. And woman number one, mindful of the manner in which God has created this thing on the inside of her, the way in which this child has been fearfully and wonderfully made, is sitting there thinking, are you seriously about to destroy what God has put together in this intricate fashion? This thing that God knit together over that 9-month period. This thing that God says that I have plans for. This thing God says that I have a future for this child. O king, are you really going to destroy this thing that God has put together? And so the king listens to woman number one's submissions. Then he turns to woman number two. Woman number two, what do you have to say? Let the child die. The king is thinking, wow. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the king is thinking to himself, how on earth can you look at this thing that God has put together and ask for it to be cut in two? I mean, look, this isn't like a loaf of bread, you know, that you cut in two and you can take half and she can take half. This is about, it's about blood and it's about gore and it's about death and it's about destruction. Because there's no clean way of cutting that baby into. You see, in our carelessness, in our self-centeredness, oftentimes we have no regard for the things and the purposes of God. And I speak to myself. In our self-centered moments, in our careless moments, oftentimes we do incredible damage to those around us and to the plans and purposes of God. But listen, people, I don't come with condemnation today, not at all. That isn't the purpose of the message. Because we all sin and we all fall short from time to time of the mark of God and the high calling of God for our lives. But there is something beautiful in the attitude of woman number one. And it's quite clear that she is the victim here. It's quite clear that she has been wronged. No question about that. She's the victim and she has been wronged. And yet there is something beautiful, something sweet about her attitude. Because in the midst of that pain and in the midst of that hurt, she's able to say, let her have the child. Let her have the child. Let this child, which represents something that is of God, live. And in those words of hers, and in that act of generosity of spirit, she's demonstrating the very characteristics of God himself. This person who says, let lowliness become my inner clothing. A true lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler part and over its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. Maybe she's saying to herself, if only I had protected that thing, that baby, it wouldn't have been taken away in the first place, but I acknowledge my wrong, I acknowledge my part in this. Take it. And the king says, I have never seen such selflessness. I have never seen such grace. I have never seen such humanity demonstrated so openly. The child is yours. Take it. There is a place in all of our lives where I think we need to, in our quiet moments, we need to have a conversation with the Lord about those things that we have done, those careless moments, those careless words that we've uttered, careless acts, self-centered acts, whether they be acts or omissions, whatever they be, which have injected confusion and hurt and pain into our relationships, into those closest to us. And to understand that there is a place for healing. There is another case study, which I probably don't have time to go into today. It involves two men. Two brothers, Jacob and Esau. And you see the same theme in the lives of those two brothers. Acts of self-centeredness, careless acts, which inject confusion and chaos into a family's relationship. Self-centeredness, careless acts which injected conflict. Well, there was an existing conflict, but self-centeredness and careless acts just made that conflict even worse and resulted in one brother wanting to kill the other. My prayer for all of us today is that we will allow the Holy Spirit to have a place in our hearts. It may be a simple message, but it's probably more difficult than we actually think it is. That we will ask the Lord to come in and take control of our thoughts and our actions, our words and our deeds, so as to be careful in our relationships, whether it's at home, whether it is in church, whether it is at our place of work, that God will grant us the grace to be careful in the way in which we relate to others. And that as much as it lies within our power, we will do all that we can to avoid injecting hurt and pain into the lives of others. And that, like woman number one, our lives will radiate that loving kindness of God Himself, who, when He was wronged, didn't hold it against us, but came down and said, died on a cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." May that be our attitude as we go through life. And may that be our portion. And may God Himself restore to us those things which have been lost, those relationships which we have hurt, those relationships which we have poisoned. May God bring us to a place of reconciliation, restoration, and healing in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. We thank You that You are a God of grace and mercy. We thank You that You are a God of loving kindness. You are a God who is able to restore. You're a God who is able to heal. And Father, I just pray for relationships represented here today. And Father, I pray that where there is room for restoration, where there is room for repair, where there is room for healing, I pray, Father, that You will come down with Your love divine. And that, Father, You will do a work within our hearts. A work, Father, which only You can do. Bring healing, bring restoration, Father. And I pray, Lord, that going forward, that You will help us to be careful not to be self-centered, but understanding of the needs of others. Pray, Father, for those parents whose relationships with their children may be strained. For husbands and wives who may be going through difficult situations, for families, brothers, sisters, members within the church whose relationships may be strained. I pray, Father, for healing. I pray, Father, for restoration. Because it's in that place of unity that you cause your blessing to dwell. Thank you, Father, that you are able to do far more exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Bless your people this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Only by grace can we stand.